Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Real Simple Magazine, Summer 2025, and Mother Earth News, April-May 2025. Let's get started with Real Simple Magazine. Your words. Have you ever made a bold color choice that didn't pan out? How'd you fix it? When I was little, I insisted my room be painted lilac, the walls and the floor. I paired it with a green plaid bedspread. I like to think my interior design skills have improved since then. Paige McCarthy, Columbus, Ohio. My husband and I went to the Bahamas and were spellbound by Nassau's colorful architecture. When we returned home, we longed to import that island vibe to the exterior of our house. The painters got to work, and my husband called to say, "It looks like Pepto-Bismol." That was an understatement. We decided to dilute the pink paint with gallons of white paint, and we came up with a custom blend. Cindy Hugh, San Francisco. I have a very large kitchen and decided to paint it buttercup yellow, which ended up being a little too bright. I calmed things down by wallpapering the bottom of the walls with a white washboard print. It did the trick. I love it. Barbara Shea, Springfield, Pennsylvania. My first apartment, I painted the tiny kitchen a dark emerald green, thinking I was being dramatic. It was awful. How did we fix it? We left it until we were ready to move into our first house. It took 6 coats of paint to cover it up. Linda Heinzen Norton, Massachusetts. I decided to experiment with a terracotta palette. Sadly, my warm orange tone turned out to be a cross between circus orange and a horrible shade of pink. I thought adding accessories would tone it down. Nope. I ended up repainting it one night after my children went to bed. Tana Lee, Shineberry King, Convoy, Ohio. We've just purchased a converted historic mansion. The room had beautiful eggshell crown molding and trim, so we chose a pale gray for the walls, hoping for a subtle look that suited the home's original era. When the painters finished, the walls looked distinctly lavender. We fixed it by accepting it. On sunny days, the color is shockingly beautiful, a reminder to smile at life's little surprises. Deb Palmer George, Lakewood Branch, Florida. For my birthday, my husband surprised me with a family painting party to paint our living room the orange and yellow I wanted. Turns out it was a little extreme, and the energy in that room had people bouncing off the walls. We left it that way until we moved out a year later. Sandra Moore, Pleasanton, Texas. I once chose a sky blue color for my kitchen. After I painted, my husband found me on the floor crying because I hated it. He sweetly went to the store and explained the situation to the paint expert, asking what he could do to help. They gave him a whitewash to tame the blue. Cindy Opperman, Hilliard, Ohio. Our house is filled with color, fitting, since we're glass artists. But we let a decorator convince us to paint the basement family room an intense coral tone. That was overwhelming. We tried living with it, but when we had a ceiling leak that did significant damage, we were thrilled to repaint it in cream. Ellen Jo Lejeune, Geneva, Illinois. We remodeled our kitchen about 20 years ago using red as a main color. We even chose red for the glass knobs and handles. Fast forward 15 years, and I was envious of a friend's modern kitchen. So I painted the walls gray. I hated it. I lost sleep for a week. A friend simply suggested I repaint and go back to red, and a week later I did just that. Kelly Rose, Butte, Montana. I just color-drenched a guest room in a very bold purple with complimentary magenta trim based on an inspiration picture, and I hate it, hiring someone to repaint ASAP. at Mrs. Lollapeter. I had a powder room I wanted to paint eggplant. Unfortunately, the color looked like Barney the dinosaur exploded all over the walls. We laughed and lived with it till we decided to put the house on the market 3 years later. We painted it a very pale pink. Kristen Coaster, West Union, South Carolina. Next question. If you had an extra hour every day, how would you spend it? Send an email and a photo if you want to yourwords@realsimple.com and let us know your answer. Your response could appear on these pages. Reader of the Month, Forrest King Cortez, 33, National Director of Community-Centered Conservation at the Land Trust Alliance, Birmingham, Alabama, at Urban Tarzan, that's URBANTARZANN. Where's your happy place? Anywhere green and outdoors. Nature is soothing and restorative for me. Bonus points if there are cool birds to watch. What's your favorite tradition? My husband has made me birthday waffles every year since we first met. Waffles are one of my favorite foods, and it's a sweet way to celebrate another turn around the sun. Favorite family recipe. My dad's arachera, skirt steak, tacos. They bring back fond memories of backyard barbecues, family parties, and warm summer nights. What's always in your car? Usually two or three reusable water bottles in the back seat, clanging around at every stop sign. Most recent splurge. A new telephoto lens for bird photography. I've been wanting one for years and finally treated myself. What have you recently stopped doing? Obsessing over unfinished tasks. Now I keep a thorough checklist to brain dump my reminders. That concludes. Have you ever made a bold color choice that didn't pan out? How'd you fix it? Real Simple right now. News you can use, timely tips, and a bit of fun. Do Good. Park Service. Did you know you can volunteer to help out at a national park? You can, for just a single day or longer. Your options include all sorts of things like rebuilding trails, monitoring wildlife, and even serving as a campground host for visiting families. Learn more at nps.gov or search the site of a park near you. I Spy. Throwing shade. When it comes to sunglasses, the darkness of the lenses is not an indication of UV protection, says Stephen T. Reed, a doctor of optometry and the president of the American Optometric Association. Your lenses need to block light, so try them on in front of a mirror, he says. If you see your eyes easily, the lenses probably aren't effective enough. Add to cart. Clear the air. You may have heard you should throw open the windows and air out your home as much as possible to send indoor pollutants like cooking fumes and volatile organic compounds into the wind. But what if you suffer from allergies or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease? Or it's still a bit chilly out there? The COPD Foundation suggests getting a high-efficiency particulate air HEPA purifier. Breeze through realsimple.com/best air purifiers to shop our top-rated picks. Take care. Cool idea. A 2024 study of more than 1,000 women found that those who regularly swam in cold water around 60 degrees Fahrenheit with others reported significant improvements in menopausal symptoms, including mood swings and hot flashes. The results are likely due to the cumulative effects of nature, social time, exercise, and cold water, says Joyce Harper, Ph.D., the study's lead author and a scientist at the University College London. Still, I would advise anyone going through menopause to try a dip in an unheated pool or a cold ocean, lake, or river and see how it makes them feel. Direct quote, Molly Sims' no-fail sleep strategy. I try to avoid falling asleep in harsh light from my phone or TV, which can be tricky because my kids and I want to watch every baking show known to mankind. But I found that it just makes me spiral. I prefer to keep my environment dim and calming to prepare my body for sleep. Gabby Bernstein's meditations calm my mind, and silk eye masks block light completely, helping me stay asleep longer. Molly Sims, expert snoozer, model, actor, and founder of YSE Beauty. Vote, call to action. Minted plus real simple needs you. In case you missed it, we recently launched a partnership with our friends at Minted. As our brilliant team starts pulling together designs for next year, we work way in advance. We're asking for your help. Go to minted.com/design-vote and cast your ballot for the stationery you most want to see in our collection. Our very own Lauren Iannotti will be a guest judge. Instead of an I voted sticker, you'll get a special discount code to take $25 off your order of $100 or more. You can even use that code to shop our current line at minted.com/real-simple. Voting is open 8/13/2025 through 8/27/2025. That concludes Real Simple right now. The next article is Smart Beauty, Fuzz Off. Enjoy some razor-sharp tips to help you remove hair from the places you don't want it, by Heather Muir Maffei. Avoid ingrowns. Maybe the biggest summer bummer of them all, ingrown hairs are a common phenomenon. They can be especially prevalent when hair is thick or curly, the bikini area, armpits, and nape of the neck. If you understand why they happen, it's easy to prevent them, says Kavita Marawala, MD, a dermatologist in West Islip, New York. As the hair grows out, it can get trapped under the skin's surface. Instead of growing out straight from the pore, it curls back and creates the dreaded bump. The more it grows, the more inflammation, redness, and irritation you get. For prevention, Marawala suggests exfoliating, which coaxes hairs out of their pores and keeps dead skin cells from building up and trapping the hairs. Use a pad containing alpha hydroxy and beta hydroxy acids, like Buff and Brighten, AHA/BHA body exfoliating pads, $30. shop.sweetspotlabs.com a few times a week on prone areas, or apply a 50-50 mix of Differin 0.1% Adapalene gel, $15, target.com, and your regular body moisturizer. Also, never go commando in your athleisure. Now, let's say you've already got one. Womp womp. No matter what, do not pop it, urges Mona Gahara, MD, Associate Clinical Professor of Dermatology at Yale School of Medicine, or you'll run the risk of a slower healing, infection, and scarring. Instead, she recommends applying a warm compress, then using a salicylic or glycolic acid treatment. Let the hair work itself out. If you need to tamp down the redness, stat, beach day, dab on some over-the-counter hydrocortisone cream. Avoid scrubbing or using a loofah in the area because it can irritate the skin and make things worse. You should be fine in about a week. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Let's get back to Fuzz Off. Take the wah out of waxing. Waxing can hurt, but these tips will help it to go a little more smoothly. Heh? Make sure the hair is the right length, about a quarter to half an inch, Marawala says. If it's too short, the wax won't have enough hair to grip for clean removal from the root. Waiting too long between waxes can result in ingrown hairs and make the experience more uncomfortable. Don't wax right before, during, or right after your period when pain sensors are heightened. Skip the moisturizer before your appointment, which makes it harder for the wax to adhere to the hair. Exfoliate 2 days before you wax, no later, or the skin will be sensitive during your appointment. Take ibuprofen 30 to 45 minutes beforehand and apply a numbing cream 30 minutes prior if you're really dreading it. During the wax, breathe out when they pull, Gohara says. Go with the grain. Sorry, but you're shaving the wrong way. It's okay. They even get it wrong in razor commercials. Shaving against the grain, as in up your legs or up your bikini line, increases the risk of ingrown hairs and irritation. If you insist on going in that direction, we get it. It doesn't result in a closer shave. Just shave at the end of your shower, Gohara says, when hair is softest. Maybe even do your first pass with the grain and then a second round against it. And use a ton of shaving gel to minimize friction, Gohara adds. Dermaplane like a pro. A dermaplane, i.e. a delicate razor that shaves off dead skin cells and peach fuzz, can leave you with a smooth, glowy face. If you want to DIY it, Michelle Henry, MD, Clinical Instructor of Dermatology at Weill Cornell Medical College, has the how-to. Gently stretch the skin with your fingers to create a taut surface. Hold the blade at a 45-degree angle and use light, feather-like strokes in the direction of hair growth. Never dermaplane over active acne or irritated skin, and don't use a dull blade. Change it after 3 or 4 uses. To clean, rinse, and wipe dry. Consider lasering. The bikini area and underarms are fan favorites for lasering because it means less shaving, fewer ingrowns, and minimal upkeep. With armpits, for example, you'll need several sessions, generally at least 6, starting at about $200 a pop. But results can last 1 to 5 years. If you've heard lasering is not for women of color, that's false, Gohara says. Darker skin tones absolutely can laser, but it's crucial to go to a provider who uses an ND YAG laser, which protects melanin in the skin and targets the hair safely. Call and ask before booking. Nip nipple hair in the bud. Don't stress them. Tweezing is fine for the occasional stray, but if they keep returning and they bother you, laser hair removal is a longer-term fix, Gohara says. Smooth operators, the best merch to help you pluck, shave, or trim. Tweezer Man, mini slant tweezer. She's angled, she's grippy, and she can be sharpened for free. So plucking good. $16.50, tweezerman.com. Nimby Disposable Razor. This razor is made from a compostable alternative to plastic and gives you a super close shave. $8 for 4, target.com. Flamingo Disposable Dermaplane. The stainless steel blade and curved handle make for a peachy defuzzing experience. $6.50 for 3, shopflamingo.com. Gillette Venus Gentle Trimmer. Designed to work on thick hair, wet or dry, this pubic hair trimmer has little fins that protect the skin. $30, target.com. That concludes the article, Fuzz Off. Now we'll move on to Mother Earth News, Gone Off Grid with Hoss Boyd. Culling Energy Hogs. Welcome to our series answering reader questions and concerns about how to cut the utility company cord. Hoss Boyd is founder, president, and CEO of TerraVolt Energy and a recognized solar and energy storage expert. Learn more about TerraVolt Energy at http://tvnrg.com. When you rely solely on renewable energy, how do you get rid of energy hogs? John from Ohio. When you're totally off-grid, every kilowatt of energy your home uses matters. You plan when you use your energy and have backups to your solar and battery systems ready. Most importantly, you don't waste energy. In my book, The Aggie and Archie OTG Energy Guide, I list what we call in the industry low-hanging fruit, upgrades that have a huge impact on energy use without a lot of effort or expense. Start by taking a hard look at your energy habits. The biggest energy hog may be a member of your family. Walk around your home during different times of day, each season, and various weather events to note. Lights left on in empty rooms. Doors or windows to the outside left ajar or open. Refrigerator doors kept open too long. This happens when your refrigerator is disorganized and it takes you a while to find anything. Showers that last longer than 10 minutes. Washing many small batches of clothes rather than fewer large loads. Heating and cooling likely tops your list of energy users. I learned much about energy conservation when my family and I were stationed in Fairbanks, Alaska. I couldn't believe they had mobile homes up there until I realized they aren't the same type I was used to in Arkansas. These homes have 8-inch thick walls and are heavily sealed on all sides, top and bottom. Homes feature an Arctic entry or an added porch-type structure or mudroom that's also heavily insulated to act as an airlock against the frigid outdoors. When I built my own Arctic entry between my garage and house, I built the walls from 2x6 lumber, put in thick fiberglass insulation, and added half SIPs, structural insulated panels, with decking on only one side, on the garage sides. I wrapped the inside of the entry with heavy poly sheeting that completely sealed the area, and then added an insulated exterior metal door leading into the mudroom from the garage. The area was so well sealed that it took effort to open and close the doors. I put in ventilation louvers between the mudroom and the house. As an added touch, I bolted the walls to the concrete floor using decking screws instead of nails to tie everything together, and used plumber's tape to secure the walls to the rafters and floor. Now the area doubles as a storm shelter. Garages are often insulated and poorly sealed. Beyond building a mudroom, you can install insulated garage doors that snug up against the door frames and see about insulating the garage walls and ceiling. A rule of thumb is, if you're getting critters in your garage, it isn't sealed well enough. Add more insulation in your attic. Seal windows and doors, or replace them with better ones, and install louvers in the attic that can be opened or closed. Roof vents are necessary to keep moisture from building up, but louvers can be closed off when the north wind is howling. Finally, assess household appliances and equipment. In time, everything wears out and needs to be replaced. So look for energy efficient, such as Energy Star rated, replacements for your furnace or heaters, air conditioning, water heater, washing machine, clothes dryer, dishwasher, oven and cooktop, and so forth. If you have a larger home or a two-story, consider dividing heating and air conditioning into separate zones. Our home has both a split system and individual controls, and our electric bill is typically 1/3 of our neighbor's. If you can't afford to replace equipment, look at ways to conserve energy by using it less. In terms of optimizing efficiency and comfort, many people keep their temperature too cold in summer and too warm in winter. Consider a good indoor summer temperature to be 78 degrees Fahrenheit and winter to be 72 degrees or lower. Fans are cheaper to run than air conditioning. In winter, wear warm layers of clothing. In short, change your habits first, then improve your home's energy efficiency over time. Send us your powerful questions. We'll do our best to answer your questions on energy in upcoming issues. Email them to letters@motherearthnews.com with energy Q&A in the subject line. May all your days be filled with sunshine, even when it rains. That concludes Culling Energy Hogs. The last article is from Green Gazette. Heirloom Collard Project celebrates 10 years with Year of Collards. In 2015, equipped with a U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, seed donation of 60 collard cultivars, Seed Savers Exchange in Iowa and Southern Exposure Seed Exchange in Virginia partnered to launch the Heirloom Collard Project to work for the recognition and respect of collards as a key component of American food culture so their seeds and stories will never be forgotten. At the time, heirloom collards were becoming harder to find. The grassroots initiative set its sights on becoming a network of seed stewards who preserve the diverse botanical and cultural heritage of collards so they never reach such critically low numbers again, wrote Ira Wallace, worker owner of Southern Exposure Seed Exchange in Mother Earth Living. In 2020, the project sent collard seeds to farmers and gardeners across the country for trials, instructing them to rate each cultivar for germination rates, vigor, yield, appearance, winter hardiness, taste, earliness, disease resistance, and uniformity. Through these trials, it discovered that some heirloom cultivars were more productive or vigorous than common non-heirloom varieties sold on the market. Now the collective is celebrating a decade of recognizing and preserving not just landrace and heirloom collard varieties, but also the stories behind them. At the start of 2025, the organization announced its anniversary by launching the Year of Collards, which it plans to promote through talks and events throughout the year. The release of collard recipes, community cook-alongs, deep dives into varieties from the collection, and more. To learn more about the Heirloom Collard Project, as well as get information on how to save collard seeds at home, visit www.heirloomcollards.org. That concludes Heirloom Collard Project Celebrates 10 Years with Year of Collards. If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.